From the heart of Nebraska's capital city, this is the Nebraska Family Alliance Report. Here's your host, Nate Groz.
A major case before the United States Supreme Court about protecting children from transgender surgeries could have major implications for parents, families, and kids in Nebraska. We'll talk about what you need to know about that case, plus 2025 legislative priorities, and what's at stake with a new legislative session beginning in January. I'm Nate Groz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance. And earlier this week, on Wednesday, the United States Supreme Court heard oral arguments in a landmark case where the Supreme Court is weighing the state of Tennessee's ability to protect children from harmful transgender procedures. And we have been heading here for quite some time over the past several years as more and more states across the country have taken action to pass laws protecting children from transgender surgeries, including here in Nebraska. And in this case, for the first time, the Supreme Court justices will consider directly whether or not the Constitution requires this type of medical experimentation on children. That's what this case boils down to. Whether or not states that have laws like Tennessee and Nebraska that protect children from not only dangerous but permanent life-altering gender transition drugs and surgeries are constitutional. And the outcome of this case could have vast implications for children around the country and right here in Nebraska. So it's really important to understand both what the implications of this case might be and what it means going forward. And so our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom have provided a really helpful guide talking about this lawsuit, where it came from, and what's next. So at its core, this case is about the ability of states to govern the practice of medicine, a responsibility that states have exercised really since our nation's founding. More specifically, this case, which is known as United States of America versus Grimetti, is about protecting children from the harms of life-altering transition procedures, including the risk of sterilization and stunted brain development. Tennessee's law ensures that no more children will suffer from healthcare providers putting ideology over science and putting lies over truth. How to provide treatment and care for children experiencing gender dysphoria has been a topic of intense conversation and debate in recent years, both in Tennessee, in Nebraska, across the country, and really across the globe. The medical clinic at Vanderbilt University, Tennessee's largest private university, began performing body-altering surgeries on children, permanently removing healthy body parts, in 2018. We know that one doctor even referred to some of these procedures as, quote, huge money makers. Activists often refer to these surgeries as part of a process called the gender-affirming model. Other steps in the process typically include social transition and providing children puberty-blocking drugs and cross-sex hormones that stop their natural development. And if that sounds dangerous, that's because it is. These drugs and surgeries can cause catastrophic harm and offer no meaningful benefits. That's what the science says. The growing international evidence reveals that transition drugs and surgeries do not help children, but instead inflict life-changing, often irreversible harm. Notably, European countries that once pushed for transition drugs and surgeries for children are now reversing course and proactively protecting children from these procedures as evidence of the devastating harm has increased. For example, in Finland, public health authorities have concluded that in light of available evidence, gender reassignment of minors is an experimental practice. And in England, a thorough review by the country's National Health Service of all available studies concluded that all claimed benefit from injecting puberty blockers or cross-sex hormones into children and teens is, quote, very low quality. This led the NHS in England to stop prescribing puberty blockers and the UK government to impose an emergency ban on such prescriptions in England, Wales, and Scotland. In short, European medical professionals, from individual practitioners to state health institutions have rejected transition procedures and are instead advocating for children to have medical care rooted in biology. In other words, to have a chance to become comfortable with their own bodies without irreversibly harming them and making them lifelong patients. In addition to this growing body of scientific evidence, we are also hearing and seeing more from victims themselves of this transgender ideology. More and more young people are saying that they wished someone had prevented their doctors from inflicting irreversible damage to their bodies and minds. This tragic suffering, together with this evidence and common sense that boys are boys and girls are girls, helped inform the decision of lawmakers in Tennessee and in states across the country to prohibit medical professionals from experimenting and inflicting this kind of harm onto children. It's why Tennessee and 25 other states now have laws ensuring children who are suffering discomfort with their biological sex are given support and real medical care that is rooted in biological reality. So what does Tennessee's law that is now before the United States Supreme Court actually say? Well, in light of the revelations about what was happening at Vanderbilt Gender Clinic, a bipartisan group of Tennessee legislators came together to protect children in their state from dangerous and irreversible transition drugs and surgeries. This was SB 1, a law that protects children by specifically prohibiting healthcare providers from performing or administering these harmful procedures on children who are experiencing discomfort with their biological sex. Now, contrary to what some activists say, SB 1 does not classify people based on sex or transgender status. Rather, the law imposes use-based restrictions on certain prescriptions and operations. In other words, what is the medical purpose of the drug or surgery? Distinctions like this are essential in sound medical practice. For example, morphine. Using morphine to address a patient's pain is not the same thing as using it to assist a patient's suicide or to satisfy a patient's addiction. The same drug can be used to accomplish entirely different purposes, and the same is true here. Governing the use of drugs and operations is an essential part of the state's duty to protect its citizens and especially its most vulnerable, children. In response to Tennessee passing this law, the ACLU sued the state of Tennessee, and then the Biden administration intervened in the case, claiming that Tennessee's law violates the United States Constitution. The district court initially blocked the law from taking effect, but the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit reversed that decision, allowing the law to go into effect and finding that Tennessee was likely to succeed in its arguments that the law was in fact constitutional. The Supreme Court then agreed to review the Sixth Circuit's decision after the United States Department of Justice and the ACLU appealed the case to the United States Supreme Court. The outcome of this case obviously matters for the state of Tennessee and parents and families and children in the state of Tennessee, but the court's decision in this case will not only affect Tennessee, but the entire country. As I mentioned earlier, currently 25 other states, including Nebraska, have similar laws protecting children. Since 2021, when the first of these common sense laws was enacted, organizations like Nebraska Family Alliance and our friends at ADF and Focus on the Family and Family Policy Alliance and other allies have been instrumental to their enactment and to their defense. Because we believe that every child deserves to be kept safe from harmful drugs and surgeries, and we are committed to exposing the devastating harms of gender ideology and ensuring that those in the medical profession provide health care based on science and truth and not politics and harmful ideologies. Children deserve help and not harm, and to have the opportunity to be seen, loved, and cared for as a whole person. So what happens next? While we won't get the outcome, the decision in this case for several months, what we took away from oral arguments that were oftentimes very charged and emotional was that the Biden administration was essentially asking the court to rely on guidelines that are not based on reliable science, and a number of justices appeared to take issue with some of the claims and arguments that the Biden administration attempted to make against Tennessee's law. The good news is that until we get this decision, laws that are in the state of Tennessee and in Nebraska and across the country remain in effect. Children should never be used as pawns to advance political agendas. And as the Supreme Court prepares to render their decision, we need to be praying for the outcome of this case and for the children and families who have been harmed by this devastating ideology. And we need to continue to stand for truth in the public square and in government and in politics. And we have the opportunity to do that coming up in January. January 8th, the 2025 Nebraska legislative session will begin, and senators will be introducing bills, including on topics like protecting girls' sports and spaces. And Nebraska Family Alliance will be there every day at the Capitol to help defend and advocate for faith and family values and the protection of children, both born and unborn. And in a sort of preview of the upcoming session, Nebraska Governor Jim Pillen released a list highlighting several priorities that he has for this upcoming session that thankfully reflect a lot of the same values and priorities that we have and will be advocating for in 2025. In a press release from his office, Governor Pillen said, quote, "This is by no means an all-encompassing list, but these items are certainly top of mind as we reflect on our past achievements and acknowledge there is still much to be accomplished. We must continue to build on those foundations, addressing issues that are of greatest concern to Nebraskans." And first on the governor's list is kids. Governor Pillen is advocating for guidelines around athletic activities aimed at protecting both kids and women. Legislation brought by Senator Kathleen Kauth in 2023 proposed guidelines for opposite-sex participation in sports activities, as well as the use of restroom and locker room facilities. It carried over into 2024, but failed to advance by only 2 votes. And this is absolutely one of our top priorities and something that needs to be accomplished in 2025. It is well past time for Nebraska to help save girls' sports and ensure the safety, privacy, and dignity of women and girls is protected in our state. And a similar bill was also just signed into law in the state of Ohio. On November 27th, Ohio Governor Mike DeWine signed this bill into law, protecting and preserving women's and men's single-sex spaces. Unsurprisingly, the same groups and activists arguing against Tennessee's law protecting children are also arguing against this law. But again, this common sense proposal is simply acknowledging biological reality that males and females are different and that we need to protect girls and women from males who would wish to enter their private spaces. It's that simple. Our sister organization in Ohio, Center for Christian Virtue, said in a statement that common sense is on a winning streak in America today. No student should be forced to go into the bathroom or locker room with a student of the opposite sex, and Ohio's kids are better protected now because this bill has been signed into law. And we look forward to helping Nebraska to be the next state to do just that. It takes courage and it takes leadership to withstand these constant attacks when you're trying to protect children. And we must continue to bring that courage and leadership to the public square to protect women and children and families in Nebraska. For more updates and information, please visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening to the Nebraska Family Alliance Report.